Welcome in, everybody, to Science and Kirk Presents In the Nest here on WNSD Positive, Baltimore Positive Radio. And I'm all smiles today, and my cohort, Mr. Wayne Viner, frequent host with me on Terp Talk, all smiles. Great, great start to the season for the University of Maryland. Great start for Talia Tagovailoa. And the Terps are 1-0 against a very, very good West Virginia team. Wayne, I'll let you start off. And we have so much video up on site, but just the emotion of Coach Loxley and the entire team was evident yesterday after the victory.
Big win. That's how you prove that your program's getting somewhere. You play a border rival in a real game, and you manage to stay in the game and in the end impose your will, and you end the game in the victory formation, the best formation in all of football. So yeah, there's some emotion there. There's a little bit of prove it. You had to go out and prove that the program was getting somewhere. And you look down a stat sheet and see your running game with Teyon Fleet Davis getting 123 yards. Jacobs, 50. Tagovailoa runs the ball when he has to as a quarterback, and the defense plays well enough. They get three defensive turnovers, one on special teams of the Mountaineers, and Maryland wins at 30-24. The proof is there. That's win number one, Bruce.
Yeah, I've got some extensive stats. I don't know if you pulled them off the website, but Maryland only gained 37 yards in the third quarter. And you and me were texting back and forth. Of course, you were on the field. I was in the press box and wondered what the heck is going on with all these runs. And I happened to ask Coach Loxley about it afterwards. And his answer was that they were trying to establish a physical presence so that as the game wore on, Maryland, they would know that they were in a dogfight with the Terps. And the Terps were a tougher dog, and they proved that down the wire by dominating the offensive line and dominating the rushing game when they had to. And I thought it was an interesting strategy, but it was one that worked out, although I was confused about it. How about you?
Look, you have these big-time wide receivers, and they do. Maryland does get the ball out to Demas, 6 catches, 133. Rock Jarrett, electric, 122. And they mix in the tight end and Daryl Jones, the other receiver, and Jay Sean end up throwing for 332 yards. Yet I think they left some of that game on the field, Bruce. I agree with you. You have the big-time receivers. I think that they told Leah, don't throw any 50-50 balls. I think throwing a 50-50 ball to Rock Jarrett is a pretty good idea, but it brings up the element of risk. Very few of the passes that Leah threw were into tight spaces. He throws touchdown passes of over 60 yards, two of those, and one to Chigakonkwo, the tight end. All three times the receiver was wide open. So they use the run game to set up wide open throws. And then Leah looks great. And Mason said that that's the same Mike Loxley and Dan Enos look that you saw with Tua at Alabama, that they use the run game to make the defense commit to the run, and then they're throwing the ball to a wide-open receiver who has world-class speed like Rock does, and he's just gone. And well, it worked. Look, I didn't understand what they were doing either, but in the end, it worked.
Yeah, that's an understatement. So Talia was 26 for 36. I don't think he ever came close to an interception. One time a Mountaineer tried to make a move and he was a little late on it. Had he picked it off, the whole game would have changed, but he didn't. And it turned out to be a completed pass. Out of those 10 incompletions, he probably had three drops to him by Dante Demas. One of them was uncharacteristic, caught the ball all alone, really took a shot, dropped the ball, but for the most part, he was really on the money, and it was great that his brother was there and Stephon Diggs was there. I think it was just a how do you describe it? A litany of like former Terp athletes. When you see Jalen Smith and Bruno Fernando there, I guess these guys were excited as you and me to show up at these games. Of course, these guys are, you know, Jalen and Bruno are popping in millions a year. So it shows you what this game meant. Talk about the defense a little bit, Wayne, and who impressed you so much? We know Hippolyte had quite a game, but who do you think was at the leadership of holding a very, very good West Virginia offense to only 3 points in the second half?
Well, you've got your unexpected star, Brandon Jennings, wears number 44 jersey. He's a true freshman from Jacksonville, Florida. He comes in at middle linebacker because the regular starter, Banaje Gote, goes out early in the game with an injury. Jennings impresses. Our guy, Lautez Rogers, and the other end, Sammy O, actually made life difficult for the West Virginia quarterback. Deshaun Holt wears 39, comes up with some sacks. He backs up Durrell Chime at rush end. That worked well. Play of the day, Ja'Corian Bennett. Not that big a guy, wears number two, plays cornerback. He made a spectacular interception in the end zone that's not only did stop West Virginia's momentum, but it gave Maryland life. If you have a chance to go to Terp Talk and watch the player interviews, every player we talk to brings up that was the play because, Bruce, that was the play. The game was in the balance. West Virginia drives the ball inside the Maryland 20, try to float one in the left corner of the end zone, and the Maryland defensive back says he was prepared and he runs a better route than the West Virginia wide receiver and makes a spectacular interception.
It almost was like that pass was meant for him and he came up with a great catch. Let's look at some of the weaknesses of the game for Maryland yesterday. I didn't like the way after they got out to the 17-7 lead that they kind of put themselves in fourth gear and kind of relaxed a little bit. And you saw the kickoff return for the near touchdown and the offense sputtered, but there's a need for some work on specialty teams. And Wayne, I was shocked that the locks didn't go to squib kicks with the way their kickoff return guy was torching the team.
You texted me during the game about that. The next kickoff was a short kickoff to the blocking returner, not their actual return guy. Any fair catches is at the 20. I'll take that. I mean, if you can't cover the kick, just pop it up down there, make it look more like a punt. And West Virginia gets the ball at the 20, and that's fine. They have 80 yards to go. Other things that needed probably a little bit of help that went Maryland's way that usually doesn't. West Virginia had four turnovers that really affected the game. The fact that Maryland needed to turn them over and really, in some cases, had a lot of trouble stopping that Big 12 offense. I wonder how that looks as you go to the Big 10. They need a couple more linebackers who can play. They got stuck with having the same two guys on the field for most of the game. You need to develop some depth there. Defensive line looked good. Backfield looked good. On the Maryland offensive side, yeah, your big-time wide receivers, if the ball hits you in the hands, you'd like them to catch the ball. The offensive line that was pointed out to be a question mark actually looked pretty good. A lot of that was the game plan, kept West Virginia off balance, but a group of guys that hadn't played together before. And I think the communication was good. Yeah, Leah got sacked a couple times. A few of those maybe, in fact, all of those, maybe could have thrown the ball away. He's trying to make a play. Sometimes there's no play to be made. But look, it's a real team, a real game on national television at home. Maryland wins the game. And we got to run in the corner of the end zone, and the team got to sing, and I love that part. And you can watch that video on Terp Talk as well. The very, very throwback-like, real traditional Maryland-West Virginia win. Do you like the uniforms, Bruce?
You know, I'm a guy, it's funny, when I heard it was script, you know, the script Terps on it, and back from the 80s. Well, believe it or not, I still have some shirts from the 80s, and before the game, I was searching for them, but I couldn't find them, but that has that black script on it. I knew it would come back one day, because it always was my favorite. And I think it was Under Armour's first shirts that came out. All right, I'm not positive about that, but I think it was. And yeah, I like it a lot. And not that that means anything, but I did like it yesterday. But it was just funny. There, I have shirts around this house somewhere with the script that I couldn't use it. One of the things you and me were questionable about was the kicking game, and I think Petrino put that to rest yesterday. Wow, that 51-yard field goal that hit the post. I mean, you know, Yoke didn't make it, but it was a hell of a kick. He nailed all the extra points. He nailed the field goals. First one, when I watched the replay, was close, but he made it. And a good day for him. But two questions for you. Number one, was Spangler the guy who got off the really high punts? Did you know there was two punters yesterday?
Right.
Why are there two punters?
They have two punters. One's left-footed, one's right-footed. They have a sort of different kicking game.
Who was the one kicking it real high?
Right. Yes.
Spangler?
Spangler. Colton Spangler. And the
he averaged 43 yards a kick. I mean, that's very serious.
He had some good kicks. The funny thing about him, Maryland has a defender named Frankie Burgess. He wears number 99. Colton Spangler wears number 99. You can't have two 99s in the game at the same time. So for a lot of that game, Colton Spangler wore the zero jersey with no name on the back. And they crossed me up. He was also the holder on the field goals. I was wondering who in the world's in the game. Is this a fake kick? Then I realized he had to switch jersey numbers. So there's Colton Spangler, and then there's Anthony Pecorello. And I think Pecorello might have hit the one that didn't go so far late in the game. I think West Virginia got the ball in the Maryland 45. But all in all, the kicking game looked good. These duplicate numbers are a hard thing to track down. And yesterday was one of the few times they caught me on it. I just wasn't sure who number zero was.
No, I agree. And one part of the game, again, was another thing that I'm sure Loxie's going to have to work on. And that is there were a couple very stupid penalties. An offside on 3rd and 10 from the 20-yard line could have been devastating. And then they had a 15-yard penalty after a turnover. They took a great turnover and made it nothing.
Right. Where they would have Cross had as an interception, and one of the linemen got into it with a West Virginia blocker and gets penalized at the 49-yard line. So I instantly thought, okay, we'll get the ball. Maryland gets the ball in the 35-ish. But I neglected to remember that Nick Cross went out of bounds about the 30. So the 15-yard penalty that happened at midfield got applied from the 30, becomes first down at the Maryland 15. And yeah, it sort of killed the momentum of that penalty. And that penalty comes right after Maryland, I believe, right after Maryland goes for it and doesn't get the first down. West Virginia comes right back and turns the ball over in the next play. I don't know why that happens so often, but that's right up there with the baseball adage that the guy who makes the great play in the field just happens to be the first guy up in the next half of the inning.
Well, you know, it's funny, 21-17, the Terps are losing at the end of the first half. They put together a nice drive, and it's 4th and goal from the 2 with virtually no time left, and I'm screaming, kick the darn field goal. And Loxley thought about it a lot. I wanted somebody to ask him that, but they didn't. But fortunately, they took the points. I think you've got to take the points in any situation like that before half. More so for momentum. I think it was the right call. Kickoff return, punt return, nothing to write home about. Jarrett did not look great on kick returns. And Dante Dimas didn't look much better. They had 3 returns for 45 yards. Not much there. That's an average of 15 yards. And also a fumble by, was it Jarrett who fumbled on a lousy kick?
It was a short kick. Loxley said they misread the wind and had Jarrett back a little too far. He comes up, the ball bounces off of him, and for Maryland's sake, rolls out of bounds. So that worked well enough. Tarheeb still is the punt returner. I don't think he had a legitimate chance to return a punt. A lot of fair catches there.
lot of fair catches and also in traffic, which he did a good job with. But overall, we have to be ecstatic. And let's face it, why is one game so important? Maryland is looking, however you want to define this, they're looking at getting 6 or 7 wins. That's about their ceiling this year, I would think. Maybe one more if things really went right. But the fact that Michigan State looks so good and a little surprised with Indiana getting swamped like that. But maybe coming out of COVID, I think it proved that maybe last year was just an aberration. That's what they kept saying on TV. You have to throw it away. It just didn't mean much. And what is it with Anish Shroff? He must be like the Maryland, designated Maryland guy. He gets every big Maryland game that they're involved with, whether it's football or lacrosse. And those lacrosse announcers, they make money doing lacrosse games. They make a living doing football games. I mean, that's a nationally televised game yesterday, and Anish was doing it. And then after it was over, it was Quint doing the recap and the summary of the game. He was on the desk. We got our guys in there, our lacrosse guys, taking over football, which in my eyes is great.
Did you catch the reference to at Maryland? As they say at Maryland, you have to be the best. Did you catch that during the game?
I missed it because
Anish threw in a Tillmanism or a Maryland lacrosse phrase there to describe what was going on.
Winning
did
is some.
Seem, yeah, did go it ahead. Seem like all of the years peeled back, looking at those uniforms and watching West Virginia? Did it evoke Maryland games at Maryland that you saw in the past?
Yeah, to me, it was a different game, a different team, and a look of a Maryland team that I'm not sure we've ever seen. A really offensive-oriented team with a very, very good quarterback. I'm not sure. Look, it's early. It's only his first game this year. But we saw what he could do last year. I think we got to go back to Scotty McBride to find a quarterback of Talia's ability. But Scotty wasn't a passer like this kid is. This kid comes from great stock, and his brother being a superstar and working with Dan Ennis. And look, you and me, the first time we heard Dan Ennis speak, we loved him. All right. And we said, this guy seems like a vast upgrade from Scotty Montgomery. No offense to Scotty.
You know, Scotty Montgomery's on the staff with the Indianapolis Colts. I'm not sure that.
I'm not docking him. Time out. I'm not docking him. But I'm just saying, I don't care if a coach is in the NFL or wherever he is. I'm telling you that our offense looked a lot better yesterday. Whole lot better.
There's a reason that they brought in Dan Ennis, and it's because of the relationship with the Tagovailoa family, with Tua, with Leah, with Loxley. I mean, this is the guy who was the quarterback coach for Tua, so that Maryland had a chance to make that family again, to bring back the sort of the gang that won the national championship, or at least got there with Loxley at Alabama. So it's a big draw, and they're running the same offense. They were trying to run the same offense they ran at Alabama. The thing about Dan is, when you listen to him speak, is you think this guy's going to be a head coach any minute. So if he has a good year or two here, somebody's probably going to pick him off, and he'll be the next head coach at a mid-sized school someplace, and he'll be on his way to becoming a big-time head coach.
Yeah, I thought the interesting play of the day was, or the NFL play of the day, let's call it that from now on, was Rakim Jarrett's touchdown. I mean, he had a yard advantage on his coverage, caught the ball, and he was gone. Kind of like what he did in that one game last year where he got a couple passes over the middle and just took him to the house. When he gets a step, forget about it. He had a super game, 6 catches for 122 yards. Howard University's up next. I don't know much about Howard, but they're not in that same conference that Maryland's in. It should not be that tough of a game. It's their one walkover this year.
Well, correct? We'll see. When you have schools named after people that you know, because we play Howard and then we play Kent, when they're named after guys, you know, those are the games you're supposed to win. When they're named after states, it's a little harder.
Correct.
So you play against West Virginia, the whole state, it's harder. You go to Illinois, it's going to be harder. You should beat up guys named Howard and Kent. No offense, you know, to anybody named Howard or Kent.
We're going way over here, but I got one of my stats here. The Big Ten was 5-1 out of conference. Is this University of Texas San Antonio? Was that the school that beat Illinois?
Yeah, the Roadrunners, I believe, of UTSA.
37-30. I mean, that's a shocker. And you've been squawking about and saying we're going to be 4-0, and Wayne Viner might be right, although we play them one at a time. But it's looking at that score, it certainly gives us a chance there. Real quick before we go, and we're way over.
I got one throw in before we go, but you go first.
All right, first thing, I don't know if you saw it. Starting quarterback, I put it up on TerpTalk.com for Ferris State last night, was Jared Bernhardt, our guy. All right, 4 runs for a touchdown, 3 passes for a touchdown. He was absolutely incredible. I'm not shocked. You're not shocked. The Whip Snakes will be in the final in 2 weeks at noon at Audi Field in D.C. You and me will be there, or I know I'll be there. And I can't wait for that game. They're back again for the third year in a row. And who was it? Jay Carlson, hat trick. Brian Phipps taking over for Kyle Bernlohr, who was slumping, had 13 saves, only allowed 10 goals. Brian Phipps, a very good friend of mine, not just because of a lacrosse player, a friend of mine. And wow, it was a big day for Maryland this weekend. Any final comments, Wayne?
Final comments, my shockers of the week, other than UTSA beat Illinois, Montana, which plays in the same league as North Dakota State, South Dakota State, they beat Washington, Pac-10 power Washington, loses to Montana. South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits, go to Colorado State and beat them. This North Dakota State level football is getting pretty good. Get the UTSA win, South Dakota State, and Montana beat Washington.
Maybe they become a Power 5 conference. Who knows?
They could take over for either the Pac-10 or the Big 12. With that, we will certainly see you from the field after Maryland plays Howard, probably about midnight when we go to Terp Talk. If you haven't seen it, go to terptalk.com and catch our post-game videos. Bruce, thanks for having me. Have a great Ravens week, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. This is Bruce Posner. You're listening to Science at Kirk presents In the Nest here on WNSD Baltimore Positive Radio. We'll be back in a few moments.